Now let us turn for a few moments today here in the book of Jeremiah and the chapter 1. Jeremiah and the chapter 1. We might very well ask the question today, has this book of Jeremiah anything for to say to us? Has it got a message for you and for me today? It is, after all, an old prophecy written way back perhaps in 586 to 570 BC. But of course the Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 15 and the verse 4 that what was written aforetime was written for our learning. What was written aforetime was written for our learning. So whether we're reading the book of Jeremiah or the book of Job or perhaps an older book even from the Old Testament, yet there the Lord is speaking. And the word of God is right up to date. And God has a message for you and me today, even here, of course, from the book of Jeremiah. There's many people today, as we know, who would say, well, the Bible, it's an old book, not really relevant at all for today. It has nothing to do with us in this day and generation. After all, we're so much advanced today. We're all supposed to be well educated. And there's great learning. And this Bible that we have open before us has nothing at all to do with us. There's no relevance to this day and generation. But thank God we know better and we know different. And brethren, it's always important for us. It's always important for us to draw a line between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. There's a big gap between the two. The wisdom of this world and the wisdom of the Lord. Because the wisdom of the world would say, yes, the scriptures, the Bible, it has no message. It is of no relevance whatever. That's the wisdom of the world. They miss the word of God. Discount it. But the Lord tells us, of course, that his word is truth. And his word is settled in heaven. And there's a very important passage of scripture for us all today. And I trust that we'll look at it and underscore what God has to say. I think we know the passage very well. It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Where the apostle says that the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that are converted and are saved. So we have to draw a line between the two continually. The world by wisdom, he reminds us there, knew not God. And how important it is for us, each and every one of us, to take time for the word of God. Each and every day. I trust and I hope that we open the word every day for ourselves. Life is very busy, isn't it? And there's so many demands made upon people. Upon the father and upon mother and upon children. And our schedules are, our hours are filled up. There's always something to do. Life is busy, chaotic at times. But let me exhort you each and every day. Take time for this word. Open the word. And it's not so much how much we read. It's not a matter of thinking to ourselves, I have to read 3 or 4 chapters today. If you can do that, that's fine. But that's not the issue. However little we read, it may be a portion, it may be half a chapter, it may be a chapter. The important thing is that we read the word, and brethren, that we meditate upon what we have read. Mr. Spurgeon said on one occasion that for to read without meditation is useless. So we need to stop, and we need to meditate upon what we read. And of course, we know that already. As we read the Psalms, we have that little word coming time and time again, the word Selah. And we know what it means. It means stop and think. Stop and meditate upon what you have read. So it's important for us to read the word. What a precious word we have. This is God's seed that can never perish. The seed of the word of God. And this year we're thinking, of course, of the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. The Lord raising up a man like Martin Luther, putting the word of God into his hand. And what a mighty effect it had upon nations, upon the whole of Europe. A great revival. And there was the overcoming of the superstitions and the darkness of Romanism in many countries. And the people were set free. Now, Jeremiah prophesies mainly here to Judah, but also, of course, to other lands as well. He prophesied concerning the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon. The people, as we've read in this passage of Scripture, the people of his day were wicked and rebellious against God. They had great privileges, the people of Judah, the people of Israel, but we know that privileges in and of themselves will not save. We must avail ourselves of the privileges. We must not take them for granted, but we must delight in them and we must make use of them. Because if we don't, we'll have all the more to account for when we come before the Lord. So they were a sinful people, and they were taken away captive. And you know, sin always brings trouble and sorrow. It always brings trouble and sorrow. And what a lesson for us individually, no matter who we are, whether we're elders or ministers or whoever, whatever we want to call ourselves. Sin will bring us trouble. And may the Lord deliver us and keep us on the narrow way. Help us to watch over our thoughts. As the old Puritan said, thoughts will soon turn into words and then very often turn into actions. So we need to walk with the Lord in the light of his word. Sin brings trouble to a nation, but righteousness exalts a nation. So we need to fear sin. We're just looking generally here at some of the great lessons, Jeremiah chapter 1. And indeed throughout the whole prophecy of Jeremiah. So we need to fear sin and commit every day to the Lord in prayer. Do we do that? We need to commit every day to the Lord in prayer. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what trial or temptation lies in our path. The devil is real. The devil is real. Principalities and powers, these are real. And we don't know what trap is laid for us day after day. How important it is that we lift up our hearts to prayer and look to the Lord that he will give us help and give us grace for each and every day. No wonder the scripture exhorts each and every one of us. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Just when we think that we're strong and when we think that we're self-sufficient, that's the time we can come down. As the old saying used to be, come down, fall like a pack of cards. So we need to look to the Lord in prayer for grace and help. But we learn here from Jeremiah another great important lesson. We learn from Jeremiah the importance of godly leaders. How important they are. Now look what he says here in the verse 18 in this passage. In the verse 18, for behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. These were the people that ought to have been shown leadership. The kings, the princes, the priests, but all had, apart from a small remnant, all had drifted away from God. How we need to pray for leaders, men with conviction, decisive conviction. You know the old saying, the politician always asks, is it popular? That's the thing today. The politician will ask, is it popular? And of course, the diplomat will ask, is it safe? That's the way of the world. Is it popular? And is it safe? And give the people what they want. But true leaders, brethren, will ask, is it God's will? Is it God's will? It doesn't matter who says it. It doesn't matter who brings in a law or a legislation. The thing that we have to ask ourselves in the light of the Word of God is this: is it the will of the Lord? And if it's not the will of God, then it is wrong. It is wrong. Doesn't matter what quarter it comes from. If it's not the will of God, if it's against His truth, then it is wrong. And it doesn't matter either about the cost, whatever it will cost us for to stand, and whatever it will cost us for to proclaim the truth. I often think of the words of Luther's hymn. He says, let goods and kindred go, and this life also. And if we were put up to it, really put to it, which we're not, of course, today, but if the challenge really came to us for standing for God and for the truth, I wonder what would we give up? What would I give up? I have to ask myself the same question. Would I wriggle out of things? Would I compromise? What would we choose? Is it popular? But we learn from Jeremiah here the importance of godly leaders. And of course, it all comes down to the will of God, doesn't it? We don't hear too much today about the will of the Lord. The will of God. And dear Christian, today we need to ask ourselves that question continually, and so do I. Is this the will of God for me? We have decisions to make. You have choices to make. And we have to ask ourselves before God in prayer, is this your will? And the same with the young people here in the congregation, the young Christians. And life is not, never has been, but it's not easy for young people today either. Probably more difficult than ever before. So subtle. This generation is so subtle. A lot of subtleties. And young Christian, come before God. Whatever it might be, you have your future before you. You have your career. You have decisions to make. Oh, ask. Ask the question, Lord, what is your will? What is your will? What is the right thing for me to do? And if you ask concerning the will of God, He will reveal it unto you. He will reveal His will. Surely we believe that, don't we? We believe it with all our hearts. The will of the Lord. But what sort of treatment did Jeremiah receive here in his ministry? The prophet Jeremiah. When he commenced his ministry, was he applauded? Did they lay on a big supper for him and to welcome him? How did this man fare? Well, we find, of course, that he wasn't applauded at all. But we find that he was treated with contempt. We've read the verse here, verse 19. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. They will fight against thee. It weren't for him They war against him. And there's plenty of scriptures, of course, that makes this plain. But if, for example, we were to turn to the chapter 26 of Jeremiah and the verse 8. Chapter 26 and the verse 8. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the people and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. And his life was in jeopardy day after day. He had a difficult time. And we're not to be at all surprised if we're called upon to suffer reproach for the name of Christ and for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I often think of the words of the Lord Jesus to his disciples. And he said, woe unto you when all men speak well of you. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. And I'm sure you know that passage that we have in John. We could hardly take it in or believe it if it wasn't in the Word of God, but it is in it. And it describes this world. And we have it in 1 John, the chapter 5 and the verse 19. 1 John chapter 5 and the verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. He's speaking there about the world. He's talking about the system of the world. The whole system of the world, as it is organized against God and against Christ and against the Word and against the people of God. The whole world lieth in wickedness. So there's reproach. Humanly speaking, we don't like reproach. We all like to, naturally, to fit in and to be well spoken of and well thought of. But we can count on it, that in this day in which we live, if we're going to follow the Lord, there's going to be opposition. You'll get it from neighbors. You might even get it from within your own family, brethren. Reproach for Christ's sake and for the gospel. And this was the treatment that Jeremiah received. And not only Jeremiah, all the prophets. And when we come to the New Testament, we find these disciples, these apostles, fishermen, most of them, fishermen. And they received reproach likewise. The apostle Paul cast into prison and was beaten and stoned and left for dead. So what is the lesson then from Jeremiah? The lesson from Jeremiah is simply this. We're not to try and fit in. We're not to try and fit in at all. Even with the religious trends of this day, we're not to fit in. And there's big changes coming. They're already in place in so many places. Where the Word of God, it's no longer now the emphasis on the preaching of the Word. It's the band, music, and all the old foolish nonsense of the day. And all of that is coming in like a flood. And even just people, and I trust this, it is not so with us, and I know it's not. Praise God, we were just talking about that before the service. Because standards are important. Standards are important. And I'll tell you something else that is important. Formality is important. Formality is important. You say to me, what are you talking about? Formality. Well, I'm talking about a pattern or formality in our services. Like we have. We have our hymns. We have a hymn. We have a prayer. We have the reading of the word. There's a set pattern set out. It's not everyone doing what they like. Somebody jumping up over here and playing a fiddle or playing an accordion. Somebody else jumping up in some other part and doing something else. No, in the worship of God, there is formality. I don't mean that we ought; it should be boring or dull, but there's a set pattern, and this thing is pleasing unto God. But the other, you see, is coming in, as I say, has come in today. No formality, not even in dress. Not even in dress. But God's people, we're not talking at all about dressing over the top. We're not talking about expensive dress. We're not talking about that. But I believe that God's people, we who are saved, that there's a standard even in our dress as we come to the house of God. Now, you may say to me, well, what if we get a whole lot of outside people coming in, unsaved people? What do we expect of them? We're talking about people who don't know the Lord at all, have no gospel background. Well, praise the Lord, we receive them as they are. We receive them as they are. They don't know anything, for the most part, about dressing up or putting on bows or ties or anything else. We're glad to see them coming under the sound of the gospel. And they come as they are to hear the word. But for God's people, there is a standard. So there's a big pressure today to fit in with the modern culture that we have today. Jeremiah suffered reproach. But he was a man of compassion also. Jeremiah was a man of compassion. We might think that Jeremiah started out on his ministry, and you know, he started out and he was slaying all around him. But Jeremiah had a heart for the people of God. He had a heart for the people. And we need a heart for the people too, don't we? We need a heart for the unsaved. We read there in Lamentations about his eyes, his tears running down like floods of water. It is here in this prophecy also that he shed tears. And he was a man that really felt for his people. And oh, how we need that today. How we need a heart for family and pray for them. Pray for their conversion. Pray for our neighbors, and pray for all around us, everywhere. And I would say also, pray for those in authority, because God can save them and turn them. And we are to lay hold upon the Lord for those in positions of authority, that God would turn their heart, because the scripture reminds us that the king's heart is in his hand, and he can turn it whatsoever way he will. How we need a heart. Because I don't think about it, I must confess, as much as I should. But oh, what is it like for a soul to go out into eternity without Christ? What is it like to be lost for all eternity? What is it like? We cannot hardly grasp it, to go out unsaved, without hope, without God, and to be ruined for all eternity. Now, I wonder today in the meeting, is there somebody in the service today, you're not saved? You have never come to Christ. And though you've heard the gospel faithfully preached, yet today you're unconverted. And if you were to die in your sins this day, where would you be in eternity? Where? If you die without Christ, I wish I could say it like George Whitefield, with tears in my eyes, you'd be lost in hell for all eternity. That's why you need, without further delay, to look to Christ and be saved. Don't delay. Oh, may the Lord stir you up. We have a loving Savior, one who cares for you, one who is tender, one who gives you invitation after invitation, who bids you come to him. Why would you not come? One who pleads, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." One who died upon that cross and shed his blood, and he welcomed, and any who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Dear soul, think upon this carefully. Be saved in time. There is life for a look at the crucified one. And there's life at this moment for you. And the moment you look to Jesus Christ, you're saved. Trusting alone in his merits. And praise God, your sins will be forgiven and all taken away. What a glorious gospel. It is good news for you. But the book of Jeremiah shows us that God can take a man with no confidence, or a man who feels weak, and use him for his glory. Look at what it says here in the verse 6. When the call came to Jeremiah, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child." The man was just Jeremiah. He was baffled. Perhaps he was about 20 or 25 years of age at this time. Some think perhaps he was younger still. But in around that age, and he was overwhelmed with this, with the call of God. He said, "How am I going to cope with it? What can I do to face this people?" And 40 years he held this office in Jerusalem. But of course he had an existence in the mind of God before he was conceived even, as we've read here in verses 4 and 5. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and ordained thee unto a prophet unto the nations." Now we might say, well, that's all very fine. That was for Jeremiah. Before he was conceived in the womb, God knew him, set him apart, sanctified him. Before he ever came into the world, God had his mind and his heart set upon Jeremiah. What has that got to do with us? What relevance has that for us today? Well, I'm sure we're well acquainted with the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "Chosen in him before the foundation of the world." Now, people get very cross sometimes when you talk about being chosen from before the foundation of the world. The sovereign election of God. I can't understand it all, but I believe it. I'm only here today because of the mercy and the grace of God. You're saved today here in the meeting. It's because you were chosen in him from before the foundations of the world. And that's a mercy. He didn't pass you by. The Lord did not pass me by. That's the sovereign grace of God. And the Lord can do as he pleases with his own, what is his. He is the potter. We are the clay. He can make one lump for his glory and for whatever purpose, and another he can discard. Chosen in him. Now, the Lord has chosen his people. And he has chosen us there, as the apostle reminds us, to be holy. Ephesians 1, 4 and 5. That we might be holy. And we live in a filthy age, don't we? A filthy, immoral, unclean age. It's a day of sodomy, and immorality has come flooding in, and we're called to be a holy people. And we're called for to serve the Lord. Oh, young people, young Christians here in the congregation, the Lord has called you. There's something for you to do for the Lord. Here, even in the church, there's many a thing you can do. You can help with many things. Oh, serve the Lord. Every time you get an opportunity. It's not always possible, I know, you're at college and school, but every time you get an opportunity, go on outreach, witness, help the people here. There's a whole lot of practical things as well you can help, and they're all important, you say. The Lord Jesus said that even a cup of cold water given in his name will not lose its reward. Even a cup of cold water. And it ought not to be left to a handful of people to do everything, even practical things. We can clean, we can sweep, we can use a spade or a shovel. All of these things are important. Serve the Lord in whatever way you can. We're called to serve. Called to serve. Whether it be in an office as deacon or elder, or whatever, or in the practical things. And isn't it a privilege to do anything for God? It's a privilege to do anything for God. There's people counted a great privilege if they were asked in for to look after the gardens in Buckingham Palace. They were counted a great privilege if they were called in for to help with the dusting and the cleaning. Well, let's say, you know where I was today? I was in Buckingham Palace today. And I was helping there. And it's a great privilege to serve in the kingdom of God and in the work of the Lord. We're called to serve. And the Lord gives grace for to do so and help. And then our time is gone. But he speaks here of judgment to come in the verse 3. And it came unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the fifth month. There was a time of an interval. The Lord said he would hasten his word to fulfill it. He would make sure it was fulfilled. God will fulfill his word. And judgment came. Judgment came. Oh, men and women, there's a judgment to come upon this world of ours. Are you ready for it? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you looking to him? God says, I will hasten my word to fulfill it. He wasn't going to forget it or lay it aside or change it. He was going to hasten it. Judgment. And it did come. It came upon Judah and it came upon the people, the professing people of God. But oh, as I mentioned, that's where we have the good news of the gospel. Listen today. It is glad tidings for you. It is good news for you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now our time is gone, and we're going to bow in a word of prayer today.